Matt Stapp, a little more than 1 week from right now, you and I will be on a date heading to a football game. How are you feeling about that?
It makes my heart and my football pants crazy.
Tap and Step, your premium Texas high school football podcast from your friends at Dave Campbell's Texas Football and TexasFootball.com. I am the Tep, Greg Tepper.
And I am the Step, Matt Step.
Thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. We love you very, very much, and we appreciate your courage. We are the Courage Boys. We're the first people to ever say that.
We're your Texas high school football first responders.
We are. That was, you said that
Like three, four years ago.
We've been doing this podcast for a long time. Do you know this is episode number? I can tell you how many episodes we've done.
That's our boss.
This is episode 184 of this podcast.
And we don't do this podcast. I mean,
no.
We don't do it. We do it once a week during the season and
once a month during the off season.
We've been at it for a while. Gosh, we're old.
Our first episode was back in, let's see, I'm scrolling still.
2018, right?
Like August 23rd, 2018. Oh, so this is August 20th. So
3 days, is, or was it?
It'll be our 6 year anniversary.
Next on Friday.
What'd you get me?
Class 5A Texas High School football.
Now that's what that, I got. That is how you pivot.
Yeah.
This is your Class 5A preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football insider. Coming up here in just a moment, a breakdown of all the depth charts in Class 5A.
Yep. We're starting in District 1 5A Division 1, El Paso Americas. Let's go.
Americas. I love what they've got at left guard. Shout out to whoever the left...
Yeah, their deep snappers. Outstanding.
Honestly, shout out to whoever the left guard at El Paso Americas is. Coach, let us know. Let's know who that is.
Coach Robles, let us know.
Yeah, holler at us. But no, Matthew, we will start this podcast, as we always do, with your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Matt Stapp, Aledo...
Still up for sponsor. If you want to sponsor it, let us know.
Aledo has won 119 consecutive district games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you're going to get this. Matt Stapp, who is the last team to beat Aledo in a district contest? Dig through the archives. See if you can figure this out.
My heart's so happy here. I was there. Mm-hmm. I was at this game at beautiful J.E. Marr Stadium in Everman as the mighty, mighty Everman Bulldogs took out Aledo 35-28, I believe. It was a one-score game because Aledo was throwing for the end zone at the end of the game. But
Everman moved to 5-0. On the year.
Everyone was really good.
The headline in the Weatherford Democrat that day.
Yeah.
Aledo suffers second loss of the season.
Yeah. They lost, like, Aledo lost to Stephenville the week before. And then they lost two district games. Aledo finished third in district that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they haven't lost a district game since.
Yeah, so there you go. A potent running attack for Everman led by running back. This would be real sicko stuff.
Let's see. Ryan Smith?
Close. C.J. Jennings.
Okay.
And quarterback?
Cedric Harris.
Cedric Harris.
Cedric with an S.
They ran for more than 400 yards on the mighty Aledo Bearcats.
That's what Everman did back then. They ran for a lot of yards.
Grounded pound, baby.
That's Dale Keeling football right there.
Anyway, there it is. Your Texas high school football fun fact of the week. Is that pandering to Matt Stapp? No, I don't know. You know, who's to say?
I did drive in here today. It's a long drive.
This is...
Appreciate that.
Your Class 5A preview edition of Tep and Step. We do thank you for being a Dave Campbell's Texas football insider. Okay. So the question is, do you want to start 5A Division 1 or 5A Division 2?
I say we usually go small to large, right?
Yeah.
So I think we keep, for consistency's sake, we go Division 2.
I will say this broadly about 5A, about Class 5A. I think there is a lot of intrigue in both divisions. Mm-hmm. We can't always, I don't think, respectfully, I do not think there was much intrigue at the top of 5A D1 last year.
Correct.
I think there is some this year. Not a ton,
okay,
but some. But we'll start with 5A Division 2, where there's no doubt there's a lot of intrigue here.
So we'll start with 5A D2, and yeah. I'll say this. The past 2-3 years, especially past 2 years, 5A D2 has been pretty boring statewide. To me, it hasn't been very intriguing. This year, 5E D2 is fascinating. Really, part of it is there's a, I think the depth and the classification across the board, top to bottom, is a lot better. There's a lot more quality football teams in 5A Division 2. And then you throw in very interesting and quirky UIL realignment.
Quirky is a good word.
After February, thrown into that, it makes 5A Division 2, in my opinion, incredibly fast.
5A D2 is... I think that if you were to pay attention to one classification, if you could only pick one, I think I might send you to 582.
Yeah, I think for 11 weeks, it's going to be, and then really through the playoffs, it's going to be a lot of fun. There's just a lot of the teams that are good bring a ton of people back. There's loaded districts. There's going to be intrigue throughout the season because there's going to be some really good teams not make the playoffs.
So... This is also a place I can pull back the curtain here where there was a real robust discussion about number one, specifically centered around the two teams that played for the state championship last year, South Oak Cliff, who won in 2021 and 2022, and then Port Neches Groves, the reigning state champs, who won in 2023.
Correct.
We went with PNG. I think that what ended up being about the tiebreaker, there was a really good, robust conversation within the staff about it. I think what ended up being the tiebreaker is just plain and simple, champion's advantage. Like, you're the king, and you just, I think if you have the crown, you deserve to be the number one, given all things being equal.
Yeah, and I think if PNG brought back like one starter on both sides of the ball, I think we would have probably flipped it. I think they bring back similar numbers of lettermen, similar numbers of starters. So I think in that point, you get the nod to the champion there in PNG. And so, I agreed with that take. And we had a lot of discussion about it. I mean, there's a good case that can be made that South Oak Cliff should be number one. But I don't think South Oak Cliff's without questions either.
I will just say this, and this is a bold take here. And I think you know that I'm a bold truth teller.
You're a journalist at Capital J.
I'm a journalist at Capital J. I'll go out on a limb. We will not have a rematch of the 5A D2 title game.
Boy,
we will not have a three match. We won't.
Okay. Bold, but I tend to agree.
Yeah. It's, listen, some people are afraid to go out on that limb.
Afraid to tell the truth. Yeah. Not you.
Not me.
Okay. Not us at Dave Campbell's Texas Football.
Let's start with 5A D2. There's some people who are like, wow, that is bold. And then we're going to get to
realignment
10 minutes from now, and they're going to be like, wait a second.
Those jackasses.
But I will say, we'll start with Region 1. You want to talk about a glow up, okay? Yeah. 5A Division 2 Region 1 went from, in my opinion, arguably the thinnest region of a big school classification in the state to, Matt Stepp, legit one of the deepest.
It's loaded.
It's really good.
There's three districts. Districts 2, 3, and 4 are loaded with good teams. You're saying District 2? We'll talk about District 2. Even in District 1, this is a banner year in El Paso. Folks, El Paso Del Valle is primed to have... They could be one of the best teams in El Paso in a long time. They've got a legit four-star quarterback, and they've got a Utah commit at running back. Like, they're good.
They're loaded. They're, like, good. They're not El Paso good.
No, they're good.
They are, like...
And then Canetillo is always in the mix, So, like... Even in this region, the playoff bracket is going to be a ton of fun. And that's not even talking about Districts 3 and District 4, which are as loaded as any district in any classification in the state of Texas.
Can I tell you this? So we have our projected brackets here, okay? So that Texas, on our website, right? Well, actually, not on our website. Matt Stepp, we have three teams in our in the top 20 of Dave Campbell's Texas Football's preseason 582 rankings, okay? Three teams in Region 1 that are projected to lose in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's how good this region is.
It's going to be a lot of fun. And it's a lot of intrigue. I mean, I talk about District 2, and no one really knows how good Wichita Falls Memorial and Wichita Falls Legacy are going to be, but those are two teams that are fascinating to watch because Wichita Falls has consolidated from three high schools to two. And guess what? Wichita Falls Hershey and Wichita Falls Rider, they've basically taken two quality football teams, and then Old High, Wichita Falls High, in 2022 was a regional finalist. Like, these are three good football teams that are combining into two.
We just don't know.
If they gel, they're going to be as talented and as tough as anyone. You got Lubbock Cooper dropping down from Division One. Like District Two, 5A Division Two is going to be a gauntlet. Like Abilene Cooper brings a ton back. Like Abilene Wiley is always solid. It's going to be a good team. Amarillo Paladuro, like this, and that's not even talking about District Three and District Four. It's a loaded region.
Let's talk about District Three because I do think that that is where the they at least. Your mileage may vary on who the favorite is in region one. There's a few of them, but at least I would say two, three of the five or six that you would put in that top and in that kind of elite caliber are here. One of them's Argyle. Argyle, Death Taxes, and Argyle.
Really good, yeah.
Very, very good. They bring back six stars on the defensive side, which I think is going to be good. And the other thing about them, and this is the thing, basically, in my history covering Argyle and figuring out Argyle, when they are big up front, they are good.
They are massive up front.
And they are massive up front.
And they've got experience at quarterback in McGuire Gasperson. So they're going to be really good. Colleyville Heritage, I think, is going to be outstanding. The two Mansfield schools, Timberview and Summit, are going to be in the mix. And the Colony is like my sleeper. Like, the Colony's dropping down from Division One to Division Two, and they beat Denton Ryan last year. They are not a team to be trifled with. This is how good District 3, 5A Division Two is. I'm an Everman homer, love my Bulldogs. I think they're seventh place in this district.
Jeez.
Seventh.
Yeah. It's a really good district.
I have Grapevine eighth. I have Grapevine eighth. That's how deep District 3-5. It's ridiculous.
It's one of the deepest. It's one of the best districts in the state. Like playing
top to bottom. If you measure a district's strength by number of good teams, I think District 3-5A Division 2 is right at the top. And guess what? 4-5A Division 2 is not far off. And in fact, at the top of 4-5A Division 2 might be, you can make an argument, it's better than 3-5A Division 2.
Look, you have four teams in 4-5A D2 that won at least 10 games last year. You have three of them that won at least 12. And one of them is probably, I got to be honest, it's the team that I feel like if we're going to have a big miss in the magazine, it's this one. It's Anna. Okay? They're the reigning 4A Division 1 state champs. They are moving up. And they get pretty wiped out on the defensive side, but they do bring back every starter on the offensive side.
Loaded on offense.
Including Ziondre Williams, their quarterback.
Anna is going to have they might have the best offense in Class 5A this year, regardless of classification. Like, there's a case that can be made for that. Now,
but by the way, we have them picked fourth in their district
because there's a ton of question marks on defense. And I think, you know, Zay Gentry transferred in from McKinney. Obviously, he's a big time player. I think he's committed to SMU. Helps the secondary, but in Class 5A ball, especially in 5A and 6A, you got to be good up front. And if their young defensive line doesn't come along, that's going to get exposed, and someone's going to be able to get stops on their offense. So that's the fascinating thing to watch about Anna. I think Melissa loses some big names, but Melissa is still going to be Melissa basically has 6A numbers in their football program, and they have 6A depth.
Melissa's an example of a team that loses the star power but brings back the worker bees.
Yeah,
and I don't think they're going away.
Hollenbeck up front. They got a quarterback moved in from Alabama, who a lot of people are excited about. I'm going to see Melissa in week one, so excited to see what they can do. You've got Lovejoy, who Todd Dodge coming in. We're going to, a lot of headlines there.
And Lovejoy Cooper in week one.
Yeah.
It's a salty matchup. Yeah.
And then you got Frisco Emerson, state semifinalist last year, loses Mike Hawkins. But they bring back a lot of guys, and by the way, their quarterback, the kid who's playing quarterback, was their quarterback in 2022, and as a sophomore, only led him to a 9-2 record. So Frisco Emerson's going to be fine as well. So District 4, and you look at District 4, and that's, Denison is probably the fifth place team in this district, and that's not a bad team. And then Walnut Grove, the new school,
that's my sleeper.
Are intrigued about Walnut Grove. So District 4, really, really good.
That's my sleeper. I'm glad you brought them up. Prosper Walnut Grove.
They played Gilmer and Salina last year. Like
and I think they played Gunner. Like they averaged 40 points a game last year with a debut.
Yeah,
you remember it was early. It tapered off from because in the early going they were hanging like 60 burgers.
They beat
on people.
Like an Arkansas State champ in week one,
and then you remember. I want to say this is to
they gave all, somebody a really good game. I think it may have been Salina.
All roads lead back to Upshur County because that was one of the games that really ruined the scoring average for Gilmer's defense because I think they gave up like 55 or something.
Gilmer had to score like 80 to win that game.
Region one,
Loaded.
And again, just such a glow up. It's remarkable. Yeah. So on to region two. And the conversation is going to center around what happened in realignment.
Sure.
Because Port Neches Groves swings over from region three to region two. And the way I described it on TFT, I probably don't need to tell people listening to this nerdcast about it, but like that's the equivalent of the Cowboys announcing that they're going to be in the AFC this year. It's switching sides of the bracket, is entirely shifting the entire dynamic of the league, plain and simple. Now, P&G does lose a fair amount of guys from last year's ball club. Right. This is not a.
Lose the Shea.
Shea Adams.
Shea Adams. Yeah. Yeah.
He was a dynamic. He was their game breaker.
Once their young quarterback figured it out and they were able to move Shea Adams back to receiver, it made. I think they lose Isaiah Wynn, the running back, graduated, I believe. So they had some loss, but they bring back the. They bring back the big uglies up front.
They do. They bring back Jackson Christian, who is. I mean, well, he's a blue chip tackle. Like, I mean, he's like a potential like NFL tackle that they've got out there. Mm-hmm. Jonathan Hernandez in the defensive line. They bring back that junior quarterback, Connor Bailey, who you mentioned really grew. And then the guy who really impressed me in that title game was London Nunley, their other wide receiver. They bring him back. So Jeff Joseph's ball club has some holes to fill, a little bit on the defensive side with five starters back on defense.
I always expected Jeff Joseph.
I was going to say, it's like, I am not, count me among the not worried about the P&G defense. But of course, there is a team that they may see sooner as opposed to later, and it is the South Oak Cliff Golden Bears, who are the now three-time Region 2 champions.
Correct.
And Jason Todd, what he's built there is remarkable. And again, for the second consecutive year, South Oak Cliff graduates really heavy. They graduate guys like Brandon Jones. They graduate Danny Green. They graduate Jordan Jaden Rowe.
Trey Jackson.
Yeah. They bring back. They do like graduate a lot. That said, again, from like a nuts and bolts worker bee perspective, offensive line comes going to be pretty.
They're going to be really good up front.
Much better than they were last year.
Agree.
They have a certified dude at linebacker and Jaden Shelton.
Correct.
That dude's incredible. We don't really know. Do we have clarity on the quarterback situation?
I think it's still a competition, but I think
I know Carter Kopecky's going to be in it.
I think right now I would lean to Carter Kopecky as the starting quarterback and
the official player of Ishmael Johnson.
Yes, Ishmael Johnson's fair. He's a guy who started I think 7 or 8 games last year when William Little got hurt. So he's got experience, but I think the question mark for South Oak Cliff is the skill positions.
Which is wild.
I think up front, they're going to be as good as they have been. I think in the secondary, they're going to be fine. I think the offensive skill position. South Oak Cliff, the knock on them last year, really the last 2 years offensively, has been they haven't been very explosive. Mm-hmm. They've been very physical and very dominant with the running game, but they haven't been able to take the top off of defense like they could when they had Kevin Henry.
Especially 21, yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be the question. And, you know, can South, you know, that when you play that style of football, your margins are very slim, especially when you play a team like P&G who kind of plays a similar style. So that's kind of the question mark. Was, you know, P&G's got question marks, South Oak Cliff has question marks, but they've both been to the state championship the last 2 years, gone 1-1 against each other. So you got to think those two teams at the top of Region 2 are the favorites. And Region 2's got more than just those two. Region 2's got some it's kind of top heavy. I think there's about 5 or 6 teams that I really like, and it kind of drops off. There's not the depth in Region 1. There's like 12 teams.
Because the team that's going to get lost in the sauce here in Region 2 is Texas High.
Sure.
Okay. There's a lot of people, including us, who are high on Texas High.
Yes.
Tre'Davious Ball, they're unbelievable running back.
Oregon, yeah.
He's a dude.
They're a team that went, they were 11-2 last year. They lost in the third round of the playoffs. And I think because they got kind of bodied by Lovejoy in the third round of the playoffs, people kind of soured on them. Yeah, remember, that was a senior heavy Lovejoy team. That was a young Texas High team in their first, you know, making a deep playoff run. And they kind of got, you know, they got punched in the mouth a little bit. I think Texas High is going to come back with what they have coming back. They're going to be dynamic if they can survive a really, really tough non-district schedule.
And then speaking of like regional like newcomers, you've got two of them here that I think are in the mix. One of them's Montgomery Lake Creek. I will say this, explosivity, not an issue for Montgomery Lake Creek.
Tyvon Byers, Eli Morcos, that offense. And Lake Creek, to their credit, played better defense last year. Mm-hmm. But they gave P&G all they wanted in the third round of the playoffs.
30-27.
3-point ball game, and Lake Creek brings it back a good amount.
Mm-hmm.
They're in PNG's district, and PNG's got two really good teams within their like people are talking about PNG and just assume they're going to win the district. They could finish third in their own district. Like that's
Huntsville.
Let me tell you, Huntsville is I love Huntsville. They lost to PNG in the regional final by 10. They got better as the year went along last year. Here's one, and you think this is kind of a really niche kind of thing, but I had a guy who I trust very much and knows football.
Okay.
Tell me,
I'm going to play the game of trying to figure out who I know.
He's related to a head coach in the DFW area, but he lives down in that area. He told me,
okay,
Huntsville last year had the best JV team he has ever seen at any level. And Huntsville brings back like 16 starters. Mm-hmm. They bring back, so you're adding. So those guys, I mean, that just tells me this Huntsville is going to be a lot deeper than they have been. And if they can, Huntsville's key is going to be offensively, are they kind of like South Oak Cliff? Are they going to be explosive enough? Yeah. Defensively, Huntsville is going to be elite. It's going to be on the offensive side of the ball. Can they have the balance and be explosive? I love Huntsville.
I do tend to agree with you that I do think that there's a gap after that. You might look at a team like Midlothian Heritage is kind of that edge case of like they're either going to be up in that upper crust mm-hmm. or they're going to be down in kind of like the also-rans.
We always overlooked them and then they mm-hmm.
they're 12-1 last year.
They go 12-1. You know, they took South Oak Cliff to overtime 2 years ago. Like Midlothian Heritage is like right there. They did graduate a lot.
They're going to be young up front.
They're going to be young. So, mm-hmm. but I still think they're the favorite. District 6 5A Division 2 for sure. Yeah. South Oak Cliff, you look at Sauk there, the 5A Division 2 is not really worth talking about. It's South Oak Cliff in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I think Midlow Heritage is your favorite in 6-5A D2, and 7-5A Texas High is your favorite, and then 8-5A is where they're really intrigued.
Yeah.
In the district races. I don't think there's a lot of intrigue in the district races in Region 2. I think the intrigue lies once we get to the playoffs.
So Region 3 is the region that Port Neches Grove cleared out of when the UIL drew up their districts this past year.
Just from my opinion, I think if I was the UIL, I would have put District 10
mm-hmm.
in Region 2 and put the PNG district back in Region 3.
Okay.
District 10 is kind of that Waco-Killeen district. This makes Waco and Killeen traditionally get put with the Metroplex. Mm-hmm. So if I was the UIL, that's what I would have done if I was doing realignment, but that's neither here nor
they
there.
They don't ask us to think.
No.
I think there was this notion of when realignment came out, and I think it's because Liberty Hill swung into Region 3 mm-hmm. as PNG was leaving, I think there was this notion like, man, Liberty Hill, like what a break for them. They move into Region 3, they have this really nice setup. And to be clear, I think Liberty Hill is going to be really good. They start the year number 8 in our rankings. The slot T is the devil. We know all about that. I think their linebacker core is going to be good, but they do have to replace, it's weird to say about a slot T team, they do have to replace like basically all their running game.
I personally just based on what I've seen, I think Liberty Hill is going to take a step back this year.
Okay.
Not a big step back, but I think they're not going to be quite as good as they have been the past three, four years.
And I'm glad you
brought that.
That may be the case. And if it is, even if it's not, I am here to tell you, I think people are sleeping on Region 3. I think this region, there are four teams. Liberty Hill's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there's three other teams, all in the same district.
They're all in District 9. Yeah.
District 9,
uh-huh.
who are legit threats to win this region.
I agree.
Starting, in my opinion, with Richmond Randall.
Yes, it was year two last year. They broke through, went to the third round of the playoffs, beat Fort Bend Marshall in the first round of the playoffs. And I think they're going to be a lot better this year. Landon Callis-Williams is going to be a sophomore, one of the best running backs in the state.
He's one of the best running backs in America.
They got a ton of people back. They got a Division One transfer in Deshaun Burton, who moved mm-hmm. over from Needville, which is Needville. You know, Needville is like 10 minutes
from I see, yeah.
Not far at all. So, you know, Deshaun Burton's at Randall now. Like Randall's loaded. They're going to be really, really good. And they have playoff experience now. They went to the third round of the playoffs last year.
You have Fort Bend Marshall.
Two of the last 3 years, they've been
disappointing.
Really losing in the first round of the playoffs.
It's disappointing. Like, plain and simple, for a team that we kind of think of as the 5A D2 bell cow in the Houston area, now they are at legitimate. I think there's a legitimate argument to be made that they have lost that title. Like they lost obviously to Randall.
They've lost their lack of a better term, mojo. Mm-hmm. I don't think people in Houston in the 5A level are just. You know, I don't think Fort Bend Marshall walks in and they're up 14-0 when the game starts anymore. I think that the luster's worn off on them.
Now,
but
bring back 16 starters.
They bring back a ton. And they're still really talented. Mm-hmm. And do the, I think Forbin Marshall needs to get back to playing with that chip and that edge that they, mm-hmm. they didn't I don't think they had last year, so they need to get back to that. If James Williams can tap into what they had when Devon Achane was there. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure he'd love to have Devon Achane again.
Yeah, great coaching there.
Yeah, but they've got they're
clear. James Williams is a great coach and also had Devon Achane.
Yeah, but they're going to be talented, and it's just a matter of can they put it all together, because the pieces are there.
And then there's the 5A D1 D2 newcomer in mm-hmm. Iowa Colony,
who is as another incredibly intriguing team.
Yes.
The Wichita Falls, 5A Division II is full of them. The two Wichita Falls schools, super intriguing. I think Huntsville, really intriguing this year. I think that Iowa Colony is also in that list mm-hmm. because this is a team that went 12-1 last year, or 11-2. Mm-hmm.
12-1.
Second year varsity program, they went 12-1 in 4A Division I, lost to Tyler Chapel Hill in the third round of the playoffs. But here's the thing. They went 12-1 with not a single senior.
Yeah.
Iowa Colony brings back 11 starters on both sides of the ball and 52 lettermen, and they lost zero.
It's
they are talented.
Yes, they're talented. And so, again, that's why whenever everyone's like, oh, man, look at the break that Liberty Hill got, I was like, man.
Region 3 is going to be tough.
I think it's going to be real
Iowa
tough.
Iowa Colony is going to be really, really – and they're much like Randall. They have playoff experience.
Yes.
So – they're going to be. They went to the. They played on. They practiced on Thanksgiving last year. Mm-hmm. So they're going to. This isn't going to be new to them either.
So now comes Region 4.
I got one more team in yep. Region 3. Okay. Just I want you to look them up real quick and tell me what you think.
Okay.
You want to dream on a sleeper, Tepper?
Let me see if I can pick out what you're give. Well, don't tell me an area.
You want to dream on someone?
Okay, I think I know who you're going to say.
Keep an eye on Bastrop.
Okay, that's not where I was going.
Keep an eye on Bastrop. Just look at what they've got coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Jake Griddle, they...
Wow, yeah, 10 starters on each side of the ball.
Yeah. Dream on Bastrop. I talked to Jake Griddle. They had a great summer, and I know people say, oh, it's just 7-on-7. Bastrop learned how to win this mm-hmm. summer. They had a great summer. They've got confidence, and they got experience. Not saying Bastrop's going to win the region, but if you're looking for a team that's going to kind of come out of nowhere and have like an 8-2 year and maybe make it to the third round of the playoffs, keep an eye on Bastrop.
Worth mentioning, the two districts that we haven't talked about.
San Antonio ISD is in Region 3, by the way.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Brenham is probably the favorite in Region or District 10.
Yeah, but Waco University's talented.
Waco U, Belton, 10-win team. Yeah. And then San Antonio Burbank. I think Burbank's the favorite.
I think they're the favorite in District 12.
Yeah. Okay, on to Region 4. And in Region 4, is it fair to say, and no, I know this is fair to say, this is the place with the clearest favorite as far as 582 is concerned. This is the team.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't? Because I will tell you this. You are going to have to talk me out of Alamo Heights because this team is loaded. This team has a spectacular senior team, mm-hmm. Senior squad that's coming off of a regional semifinal. Mm-hmm. And they have
that guy.
Him.
They have
Michael Terry. Mm-hmm. And if you have not seen Michael Terry play, like he is electrifying.
He is. He's fun to watch.
He's going to be one of those guys that we're going to be talking about every week. It's like Alamo Heights is going to be shorthand for Michael Terry in a lot of ways.
He committed recently.
Maybe Texas?
It was either Texas or Oregon, I thought.
Let me make
Greg Tepper's going to frantically research this. I do think Alamo Heights is going to be really good. But
He has not committed.
Okay, I thought he was going to commit.
But according to 247, they crystal balled him to Texas, whatever that means.
Okay. I think Alamo Heights is among the favorites, but I don't.
Wow.
I think this is the year for Justin Evans and Corpus Christi Miller.
Wow. You're putting in
this
the call.
The they got close last year in Division I.
I want to believe.
Let's be honest. They blew it last year against Brownsville Vets. They were up 21-7 in the fourth quarter and blew it. You know, and
they were up. I want to say they were up. Yeah,
21-7 or 28. They were up 14.
I think they're up 28. I think they're up 28-7.
28-7
because I think that Alamo. Like I think they closed it to 21-7, and then Miller ran back the next kickoff.
Okay.
To go up 28-7. It's like this is over. Yeah, because it was 35-20. It was final.
Yeah. So it was 28-7. So they blew it last year against Brownsville Vets. Now, it was on the road,
mm-hmm.
and boy, I can't imagine what kind of atmosphere Sam Stadium was that night. But they blew it. They bring back a lot. They've got Trevor Long back. They've got incredible skill talent. Like for Region 4, they're as talented as anyone. This is the year. Remember what the year when Haynes King, when we said Longview was a take it to their effing grave year? this is the take it to their effing grave year for Miller.
Okay.
If they don't get it done this year, they're not going to get it done.
Yeah.
I just don't – I don't think they have it in them. This is the year – and they've upgraded their non-district schedule. They're playing DeSoto week three, so they're they open with Corpus Christi Vets. Mm-hmm. They're playing DeSoto week three. They've upgraded the non-district schedule. They're pushing their chips in this year, and I think this is the year they get it done. Spoiling my region four.
How do you feel about the team? I can't figure out here is Bernie. It's a good team. It's a 10-win team. It's a super consistent team.
Yeah, played for a state championship just a couple of years ago.
I mean, yeah, they've been really, really good consistently, but they are moving up to 582.
Mm-hmm. And there's a region to move up to 5A Division II in. It's four, region four. This is the weakest region of the four.
And their secondary kind of gets wiped, and that's kind of a question, especially in a region where
Miller and Alamo Heights
are going to throw.
Yes, and even Gregory Portland likes to sling it around. So, yeah, there's some questions there. I think Bernie's going to be very good. They're always solid in the trenches. They're going to be good up front. I think they're a step below. I think this is a two-horse race between Miller and Alamo Heights, personally.
I will say that you may remember, if you tune into Texas Football Today or any of our products, you may say, hey, wait a second. Wasn't this where people were talking about, you know, remember they had a team that made it to the state semifinal from the Rio Grande Valley? Like, it's awesome, right? It's awesome. Probably not this year, buddy.
Yeah.
I
think it's a Miller Alamo Heights.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's 582 region by region. Why don't you give me your regional picks and your state championship pick in a very intriguing classification?
Got a couple surprises for you here. Okay. Region one, I'm going Colleyville Heritage.
Okay.
Region two, give me the Huntsville Hornets. Give me Huntsville. I'm big Huntsville guy this year. I'm big. It's going out of the
way. Can you imagine the, like, if they were, because I don't know their playoff path from me, but like the day they beat South Oak Cliff or something like that. Just like the craziness that would go on.
The issue I have with South Oak Cliff is that potential playoff path that they're going to have to beat possibly Huntsville, PNG, and Texas High just to get out of the region.
Yeah.
Like South Oak Cliff has the toughest path to walk. All right. That's tough.
But
I got Huntsville.
Okay.
I've got in region three, I'm going to go Richmond Randall.
Okay.
I think this is the year for the Lions. In region four, I'm going to go Corpus Christi Miller.
What a fun quartet of regional champions.
And in the state championship game, I'm going to get real weird on you.
Do it.
Huntsville versus Corpus Christi Miller.
Oh.
I'm getting weird.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That would be... You want to talk about a crowd?
I think it'd be a good crowd. Yeah,
Huntsville. I mean, Huntsville travels, and Miller's the, like, they're the legacy program.
They're the original school in Corpus.
The legacy program.
Miller travels very well.
Yeah, that's really my fun.
It's probably a little bit of a hipster type, you know, state championship pick, but I've been real chalky, so I got to mix it up a little bit.
Okay. Region one, I'm going with Anna.
Okay.
I think we've overthought this.
Okay.
This is a team.
I know one guy's going to be really happy with you. I don't know if he listens to the podcast.
The dude at quarterback, okay? Yeah. The reigning state champions. I know they lose CJ Miller, and I loved CJ Miller, right? Mm. But I think we're overthinking it.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Anna in region one.
Okay.
I'm going to go with P&G in region two.
Okay.
I think
a lot of purple in the state semifinal.
A lot of purple there. in the semifinal. Okay. I'm going to continue it. Region three, I like Liberty Hill.
Okay. This is why 5A Division II is the most fun classification.
And region four, I'm going to go with Alamo Heights.
So we had eight different regional champions.
We did.
That's why we did not agree on a single regional champion this year. Because it's fun.
And in the state championship game, give me P&G over Alamo Heights. I think San Antonio gets a team in the title game.
Okay.
I like PNG, or I think Alamo Heights. I will say this.
Liberty Hill has tormented Alamo Heights in the playoffs the past few years.
The other thing about this, what I think is, and obviously there's a lot of game to play, and we'll get a better feel for this. I do think that we could be headed for two heater semifinals in 582. Like, there's not a weak link as far as regional balance is concerned.
The thing is, like, I don't look at your four regional final picks
no.
and be like, oh, that's crazy. Like, no. I think that's just how many good teams are in 5AD2 this year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of fun.
On a 5AD1, where we should have done this first.
A lot less fun.
Okay. Look, Alito is the they are the Texas high school football program of record. That is not an opinion, okay?
Yeah. They have Carthage, but it's...
They have the most state championships.
Yeah, Toledo.
They have the most state championships, and they're the reigning state champion. Carthage can't say that, okay?
They're back-to-back state champs?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. They lost in 21 to South Oak Cliff, and that was the last time. And then they won 22-23.
They beat College Station in Smithson Valley, yeah.
So the conversation about Alito, much like when we did 382 around Gunner, the conversation has to center around Alito.
Sure.
Here's a positioning statement.
Okay.
If you're going to get Alito, it probably better be this year.
Correct. I would agree. I think Alito takes a step back.
I think that the gap last year...
Especially early in the year.
Last year, it did not feel like anyone was going to get within two touchdowns of Alito.
Yeah. I think it was a shock when anyone played. Ryan played him close. And... Lubbock Cooper kind of gave him a run there. I think the score was closer than the game really was. But
there was a sense of inevitability with Alito. It was a very inevitable team.
It was not boring for Alito fans. It was boring for us because we were like, well, Alito's going to win by four touchdowns.
Exactly right.
I don't think Alito's going to walk through. They may still win the state championship.
Yes.
In fact, we'll get
spoiler
to that,
alert.
But,
yeah.
But I don't think they're going to have to fight to win the state championship.
There's reasons.
They lose House Haney, and he was so special.
He's so good.
And you just don't replace a guy like that, in my opinion, right away.
Yes.
You don't have a guy. The kid that's waiting in the wings may end up being as good as House Haney, but he's young, so he's going to need a year to develop.
They still got Jermichael Finley's kid.
Caden Finley.
They still have Racing Guillory. Yeah. Like, they're still going to be loaded. Alito ain't going anywhere, folks.
They're going to be really good.
My positioning statement is, if you're going to get them, which there's no guarantee you do, if you're going to get them, 2024 is the year. This is as close to a reloading Alito as we've seen in...
There's more questions with him.
A decade?
It's a good question. It's been a little while.
It's been a minute since we had questions about them.
Yeah.
But we have legit questions about them. And there are teams that are looming, especially one team within their own district.
Sure, that gave them a really good game last year.
In Denton Ryan, who could get them. The Power Nexus does appear to be, in my opinion, DFW for the most part.
Yeah,
that's where the Power Nexus is.
Agreed.
If you consider Alito DFW, Parker County, you know, your mileage may vary.
I mean, Alito is, you know, we can talk about what DFW, Alito ISD goes into the Fort Worth city limits. So it's DFW.
It is, that will be, let me be extremely clear about this because people love to take my stuff out of context. I think Alito is the favorite to win 5A D1. I do not think, unlike 2022 and 2023, that Alito is the prohibitive favorite to win 5A D1. Is that a fair assessment?
I think in 2022, we all kind of thought Longview was going to win.
Oh, that's true. And you're right. That Alito is correct.
I think I would consider Alito's win over Longview.
That rain, kind of that rainy game.
Yeah, I think that was an upset game. But then in the state championship, Alito just destroyed College Station. Mm-hmm. So
okay.
I think Alito's the favorite. Even though they do have questions, I think they are the favorite.
We'll start with their region. In 5AD1 Region 1, they are the favorite. Spoiler alert. But I think... Is this the best district? At least the top heaviest district they have been in?
3-5A Division One is
really good.
Yeah, the top three in that district are
we'll start with the number two team in the state, which is Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan, this is what's funny is that this is Alito was Ryan last year. And what I mean by that is if you were going to get Ryan last year, was to get the year to get
them. The last
they were
2 years,
very young.
Yes, Ryan was retooling, and everybody I talked to affiliated the program was like, "We're gonna be really young, but we're gonna be really good the next couple of years." Well, we're in the first year that really good, and I think what helped Ryan last year is they really found their identity when they put Braden Musset at quarterback, and they kind of developed their identity, and they're really good up front on both sides of the ball. And Musset, you know, he got hurt in the Abilene game, and credit to Abilene. Abilene played a great game and beat him.
Plain and simple.
Really hurt Ryan. If they can keep Braden Musset's the key. They got to keep him healthy. When he was healthy, they almost beat Alito. Like, they can beat anybody. And so he's the kind of the key to that whole off. He's kind of the keys to the factory.
Yeah, he is kind of the keys to the factory. That's an excellent sports point that you made there. This is a team. I will say about Braden Musset, though, if they can find another quarterback and allow him, like somebody to play the quarterback at the caliber of Braden Mussett, and move Mussett out to a more natural position, that is an example of like we were talking about P&G, of like the Shea Adams, Connor Bailey situation. When they found Connor Bailey, or I think when Connor Bailey got healthy again, I think it was hurt. When that happened, it really opened up the offense. So that's one thing I'm keeping an eye on. But I mean, their defense is going to be very good.
Oh, yeah.
And I think they've got an opportunity. Look, Alito's got a 119 game district winning streak. I'm not betting against that. But if they're going to get got, Ryan might have that chance. And they've been close the last 2 years, closer than basically anybody.
Agreed.
The other team here is Richland. Richland
12-1 last year
was the one of the breakout stars of the year last year. They move over to Region 1, which I think is probably an upgrade for them, although you have to deal with Alito. It's not as deep as it was.
Correct.
And there's reason to believe that they're not going away. They got 16 starters back from last year.
They bring back all of their offensive production.
Yeah.
They bring back every yard that was gained last year is back for Richland.
Yeah.
Now, they lose a really good interior lineman with Texas, Daniel Cruz. He was also a guy who played on the defensive side of the ball at times. So that's good. That's a big loss. And then I think Richland, the question for Richland is going to be defense. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to score points. Michael Turner is an elite running back. Drew Cates is a solid quarterback. They've got two really good receivers on the outside. The key for Richland is going to be defense. Can they improve defensively? That's where they struggled last year, was on the defensive side of the ball.
So that's District 3. Matt Stubb, District 3 is going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I submit to you, I think District 2 is going to be the chaos factory.
It always is. It's always really balanced.
It's so wild.
Yeah, West Texas in 5A is fun.
I think Abilene, Tuscosa, and Amarillo, if you want to lump in Monterey as well.
Monterey is one of my hipster picks. Mm-hmm. Keep an eye on a little bit Monterey. Judd Thrash has got Monterey, I think, ticking in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Abilene High is the favorite. They bring a lot back. They got playmakers all over the field. They made a great run to the, I think, third or fourth round,
regional final. They lost to Alito in the quarterfinal.
So, you know, Abilene High, back to back years has made. They went to third round 2 years ago. Last year, regional finals. They're going to be really, really strong. I think there's questions behind them. I think you've got a kind of a group of teams there: Tascosa, Amarillo, Monterey. I think Lubbock Coronado is going to be a lot better this year. You got four teams that I think really are kind of all evenly matched. And then I think after that, you come out Caprock and Lubbock High. But I think there's five good teams in that district. One of them is going to be home come playoff time.
Arlington Heights, probably the favorite in District 4.
Yeah, I think Arlington Heights is a favorite in District 4, moving up from Division 2 to Division 1. But keep an eye on Chisholm Trail.
Yeah.
I think Rickland Holmes is going to have Chisholm Trail in the playoffs. You can put this down, clip it VNA, do what you got to do. Chisholm Trail Rangers make their first playoff appearance in 2024, and I think the Pascal Panthers make the playoffs as well.
Shout out Brian Curtis.
I think your four playoff teams there are Arlington Heights, Pascal, Chisholm Trail, and Saginaw.
And then District 1, we already name-checked them. But
everybody's all in the playoffs.
But America's is probably your favorite. District, yeah. Are they doing the double round robin?
They're doing double round robin, yeah.
Probably shouldn't do it.
Boy, so. El Paso Parkland bailed out a lot of people. Because if El Paso Parkland doesn't opt up to Division 1, there's only three teams in El Paso, what does the UIL do at that point?
Yeah, it's...
So they bailed out a lot.
First round bye? First round bye for Abilene?
Combine El Paso and Lubbock and Amarillo into a heavy travel district.
Oof.
Yeah.
To Region 2. Region 2 has one team returning to 5A in the Highland Park Scots.
I would consider them the favorite in the region.
Highland Park is back in 5A. The last time they were in 5A, it went pretty well for them.
They seem to do well.
They
did good in 6A, too.
Yeah, they did fine. I mean,
they went to third round last year.
They were an 11-2 team last year. I say this to you, Matt Stapp. The hardest team to project, one of the hardest teams to project in the state in the preseason is Highland Park, specifically just because every year they graduate really heavy.
Every year we get the question, and there's like four starters on four and three, or three and three back on both sides. You know, it's just like they always lose a ton, and they're stormtroopers, man. They just reload with the same kind of kids. They're never that big, but they're never little. They're always just kind of a bunch of really athletic, strong kids, and they're deep, and they believe in the system, and they buy in, and they're just scrappy and tough, man.
I think their defense is going to be pretty good. They have to find a quarterback and a running back. I don't think that'll be an issue for them.
Highland Park, they'll be fine.
As somebody once told me, and I want to make sure I quote this correctly, they said that Scott's find a way.
Scotty's find a way.
The
shout out Guy Fraser.
Chief challenger to them, I would say, within their own district is Red Oak.
Red Oak's talented. Core at Red Oak is as dynamic as any in the state. Classification.
They will have more dudes per capita than any team in 5A1. Yeah.
Season opener, Red Oak and Colleyville Heritage.
Salty.
That's very good. Choice. Very, very dynamic.
Now that's choice. Yes. How do you feel about Frisco Lone Star? It's another team where kind of every year we kind of like say, yeah, maybe. Like,
they can find a quarterback. That's everywhere else. I think they're set. Mm-hmm. They bring a lot back.
Mm-hmm.
It's the quarterback. Do they have a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Rayburn's been very coy. Hasn't really kind of tipped his hand, even off the record, to me. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. If they have a quarterback,
that Frisco district's sneaky good, by the way.
Reedy's
going to be good. Frisco High. Mm-hmm. The SCO is going to be good. Wakeland is always solid. Frisco, like, that's a good district. Heritage is going to be as good as they've been in a while. There's going to be a good team missed. That Frisco district maybe doesn't have the name brand recognition, but there's five or six. There's going to be a couple of good teams missed the playoffs.
And then, of course, you have the natural district of Austin with Cedar Park in this district as well.
Right, somebody had to be in region. Remember last year, Region 2 was Beaumont, and, and it was kind of the southeast Port Arthur Memorial was in District 8.
Somebody's ox always gets gored here.
And
like
so
District
I think
8.
It makes more sense to go Central Texas.
Yeah, and Cedar Park's probably your favorite there. Lake Belton's interesting, but, I mean, they're losing, that guy. They're losing Micah Hudson.
Yeah,
so.
Micah Hudson. So I got a couple of sleepers to watch in Region 2.
Here we go.
I really, really think that Steven Jackson at West Mesquite is going to do a heck of a job. I think West Mesquite's going to be one of the more improved teams in the area. Could win District 6. I don't think they're going to make a big playoff run, but I think year one they're going to make a big turn, and I really like Tyler High.
I was about to say Cujo. Second year under Coach Rashawn Woods.
I think Rashawn Woods did a hell of a job in year one. I like Tyler High quite a bit. I think they're a team that needs to be kept an eye on as well.
I was out in Tyler a couple weeks ago for an event, and
they're excited. There's buzz.
Buzz about Cujo this year.
And I think the big 7-on-7 run they had, getting all the way to the semifinals, I think just added to the buzz. Mm-hmm. So the buzz got to the point where I'm going to go see a Tyler High game this year.
You going to Rose Stadium?
No, they're playing in Cleburne because they got to go all the way to Cleburne for a district. I'm going to Cleburne.
Yes. Shout out.
15 minutes from the house.
Shout out to Lufkin, which brings us to Region 3. Yeah. Region 3 basically, my question is it College Station? And I don't mean College Station High. I mean like the city of College Station. Mm-hmm. Or is it kind of like the field?
Yeah, because the Houston area in Region 3 is not super strong. I mean, you go into Houston, it's, LaPorte and Angleton are kind of the two best teams. But really, LaPorte doesn't have it. They lost in the first round of the playoffs last year. So, where are they at there? I think Port Arthur Memorial, I am into Lufkin this year. I think Lufkin's going to be very, very strong. Keep an eye on them. And then I think, no one's talking about them much. Because they got blown out in the first round of the playoffs by Cedar Hill last year. But Pflugerville Weiss is going to be good. They're dropping down from 6A into 5A. They bring a ton back. I think that playoff loss has been a motivating factor for them. I think Vernon Hughes is going to have those guys ready. It's a tough district. Mm-hmm. You got to go through Consol and College Station. But I think Pflugerville Weiss is going to be a really, really good team as well. So there's some intrigue in Region 3. I just don't think it's in the Houston area. I think you got to leave Houston to kind of get the real kind of the top tier team.
Port Arthur Memorial started 9 sophomores last year, so
very, like, very young.
They're
very, very talented.
Really good. And then we should mention, spend some time on the two top ranked teams in Region 3, which are College Station and A&M Consolidated. Mm-hmm. College Station is, I mean, it's kind of weird to say, not really actually, like they have put themselves, in my opinion, they are now in that Frisco Lone Star tier of like every year kind of earmark them for somewhere in the top 10.
Yeah.
Great years, they're like top 3.
Yeah.
Reloading years, they're like 9 and 10. Yeah. Right now we've got them 4. That is, I will be honest, a little rich for me.
I agree. I think they're ranked a little higher than I would personally put them, but I don't think that's I won't be surprised if College Station rattles off an 11-2, 12-2 kind of season.
Aiden Martinez Brown is back. Braylon Wortham, of course, is a star for them. And
gotta find a quarterback.
That's a big question for
Maiden,
them.
So.
The more complete team right now, I think, is their crosstown rival. It's consolidated.
Year two under Brandon Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, typically, you see teams make that jump in year two, and I think Consol is going to be really, really good.
And they were a 10-win team. I thought it got better as the season went on, and they're going to be good in the front seven. Ethan Walton, Nizer Adams, they're going to be really good. And then they've got the guy in Will Hargett, their quarterback.
Yes, veteran leader.
Here's the question. Can they beat College Station?
It's the weirdest. It is the weirdest thing that College Station has had. Like, Consol's never beaten College Station, mm-hmm. ever. Mm-hmm. It's weird that College Station, the little brother, basically, has just dominated A&M.
Consol. They've never beaten them.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then you mentioned Laporte. I'm mentioning them 17 starters back from last year's ball club, and I think you're right. They got beat in the first round. Gave Lancaster a little bit of a run in that
first round
play.
Laporte, I think their biggest issue is they don't have a home stadium.
Yeah.
Their stadium's being rebuilt. So they're playing every game on the road again for the second straight year. But that wing T offense, you know, it travels.
I'm into Angleton. Angleton's going to be, I think, very tough there in District 11. And then Galveston Ball is going to have the best player. They've got Jonah Williams.
Yeah.
He's a certified five-star dude.
Keep an eye on Austin Anderson as a sleeper there also. Ed Small, our guy.
But the reason we didn't mention a reigning regional champion in Region 3 is that the reigning regional champion ain't in Region 3 anymore.
No, they're in Region 4.
The reigning regional champion is in Region 4, and it's Smithson Valley. Mm-hmm. Now they get, again, it's hard to parse with them because Larry Hill is also a guy who plays a lot of seniors. So every year they kind of reload and stuff like that. This year's team is no different. They bring back only 8 starters from last year's team, but I will tell you, bring back the quarterback, bring back the running back, bring back their defensive front, which I think is going to keep them in a lot of ball games. And I also think moving from Region 3 to Region 4 is a more manageable path for them.
It will help them. Yes, they will come playoff time be right there.
Yeah, they're going to be.
The district's tough.
Yeah,
they're in clearly the best district in Region 4.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. But remember the team that played in a regional final last year before losing This is the team that played in a regional final in 5A Division 2. They're moving up. Matt Stuff, the San Antonio Piper Warriors.
Correct.
San Antonio Piper brings back a ton because they're still just a super young program.
Third-year program. Same school district as Smithson Valley. They're both in Comal ISD.
It's a great
year. They've got my guy, Isaiah Champagne.
Yeah, Isaiah Champagne. He was so good in that game. Craig Way and I did the Alamo Heights and Piper game, and it was just
I was there in the dome that day.
Between Terry and Champagne, it was just like back and forth.
It was fun.
Awesome.
It was a fun game.
Great game.
One of the best games I saw all 2023.
But this is a Piper team that is loaded. They bring back 9 stars offensively, but they've got, especially on the defensive side, which was not awesome for them all year long.
That was not their strength.
No.
They were an offensive team.
They were. Down on the coast, you've got a couple of really interesting squads in Flower Bluff and Veterans Memorial.
Yeah, both have veteran quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Corpus Christi Vets quarterback Billy White III is actually a really highly touted basketball recruit. He's got a couple of SEC basketball offers. He's 6'6". And Flower Bluff's got Peluso back, I think. Jaden Peluso back.
Are you interested in New Braunfels?
Yes, dropping down. I think year one. I think year two, the new school is going to start to hurt them, Long Creek opening up. But I think year one, they're going to have that junior-senior heavy depth. They were a solid 6A team, so I'm interested in them as well.
Favorites in District 14, probably Southwest. Maybe them or Southside. Southside won the district last year.
I like San Antonio J. Dropping down from 6A. 10 and 3 and 6. They lose a lot.
They
lose Jackson Gutierrez.
Mm-hmm.
But that keep an eye. I like San Antonio J.
And it is we like to close the narrative and close the books on whenever we pump things up. For the last 2 years, you've heard us talk a lot about PSJA North. It is unfortunate, but we must announce that the window is probably closed for PSJA North.
Probably. They're still going to be good.
They're going to be good, and I think the problem is that now, they're in that Corpus Christi district with Flower Bluff and Vets, each of whom I think are more established powers now, mm-hmm. And then the Valley, Edinburgh Vela, 10-win team, from a year ago. I can buy a little bit of stock in what they've. I can pick up what they're putting down a little bit. I think they're going to be good up front, which is always a what you need if you're going to contend in Region 4 as a Valley team.
I think Harlingen South is going to be a lot better this year. I'm interested in what Israel Gonzalez has going on down there at Harlingen.
It's a great coach. I'm an Izzy Gonzalez guy, so that's very good. Okay, so now, Matthew, we will pick out our regional champions and our state championship game for 5A Division One. Let it rip.
Region One, I'm going Aledo. Region Two, I'm going Highland Park. Super chalky. Region Three, going A&M Consolidated.
You think they finally get College Station?
Region Four, I'm going with Smithson Valley. And in the state championship game, give me Aledo over A&M Consolidated.
Okay. I'm going to go with White Settlement Brewer in Region One.
I do think Brewer makes the playoffs.
What I do in 4A that you like, who was it that's like a Oh no! When we were doing 3AD2.
Oh, you threw in somebody over Gunner.
In Gunner, I think
and
I just
looked it past me, and I just
very casually mentioned it. Let me see if I can. Let me see if I can identify
like
who it was. I think it was like early.
Yeah, you said early. Early. Yep, it was early. Yep, it was.
Shout out Longhorns. I am rooting for you. Okay, Region One, I like Aledo. Region Two, I'm gonna go with Highland Park. Okay. Again, super chalky. Region Three, I'm gonna go. I think this is the year for Port Arthur Memorial. I'm buying in. I think that they were a year away last year, and I think that that year has arrived. Right. I'm going to go with Port Arthur Memorial. And Region 4, I'm going to go San Antonio Piper. Okay. I'm impressed. Okay. I think that I think they've got the goods. If they can figure it out defensively, then I think that they're going to be mixed. I might as well. Smithson Valley's got a lot of questions.
They do.
A lot of holes to fill. So I'm going to go with Piper. And in a state championship game, give me Aledo over Port Arthur Memorial.
That's fun. You get the Golden Triangle at state.
Yeah,
it's fun.
That'll be fun. 5AD1, so that would be the Saturday morning game.
Yeah, it'd be the first game Saturday.
Saturday morning game. That'd be fun. So anyway, there it is, your 5A preview, a very brief 5A preview. You got anything else? I mean, we're gonna talk with people later this week.
No, I think that was how long did we record?
56 minutes.
Yeah, I think we touched on. We gave the people what they want, and now we just got one more season preview podcast to go, and then next week we are on video.
Do you want to tell it? Yeah, next week we're on video on Fridays. But don't worry, for those who are wondering, if you're a subscriber,
you're still going to get it on Monday night.
Monday night, likely. And the podcast is exclusive to subscribers. Yes. So the audio version is a subscriber exclusive.
Then the pores can watch on Friday.
Do we want to wait until do we want to keep tabling when we're going to announce which game we're going to on our mandate?
Yeah, let's hold off till the week one.
That's what we
podcast.
Call
that's a tease right there.
We're teasing you here. That's going to do it for us. Thanks for being a Dave Campbell's Texas Football subscriber. Step, thanks for your courage.
Thank you.
Talk to you next time for the 6A preview on Tep and Step.